Father, we love you, Lord. This morning, we thank you for all your children that are here now, and those that will join later, and those that may even listen to the replays much later on. So we give you all the glory and praise. As our manner is, Lord, we come together daily in the fellowship, in prayers, and in the sharing of the word of God. And we declare that today, as always, the entrance of your word, we give light, we bring light, and you give understanding unto us today. And even so, let it be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, we are reviewing the subject matter of engaging the word of the Lord in the spirit. And why is that so? Because Jesus said in John 6 and 63, said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Well, if the flesh profits nothing, and if the spirit is what quickeneth, and if the word of the Lord is what gives spirit and life, then we must engage the word of the Lord in the spirit. Only makes sense. What does it mean, therefore, to engage the word of the Lord in the spirit and rather than in the flesh? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 also tells us that just knowing the knowledge in the flesh profits nothing. He said, oh, we don't even know any man anymore in the flesh, not even Jesus. And we're not going to try to know him in the flesh. Must know him in the spirit. Jesus himself said, Matthew chapter 16, after Peter made that declaration of who he is, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. You know, so many scriptures indicate to us that we cannot really connect with God in the flesh. You know, Job chapter 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Even though we know that we're supposed to seek for him. Jeremiah 29:13 says we must seek for him with all our heart, and that's when we will find him. Yet, we're told that, you know, your searching will not result in anything unless he reveals himself. So these are paradoxes of life. You must search for him in order to find him, but you can't find him unless he reveals himself. It's a beautiful mystery. Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Job chapter 11 verse 7 says, well, you know, this knowledge of the Almighty said it is high, you know, as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. You know, what can you know? The measure thereof is larger and longer than the earth. It's broader than the sea, you know. What is it that we can find out from the Lord unless he reveals it? In Matthew chapter 11 and 25, Jesus says, the Bible says that Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, Father, I thank you because you have hidden these things, you know, from the wise and the prudent. Now, the wise and the prudent, well, those are the people that should know these things. Well, why does God hide these things from the wise and the prudent and then reveals them to babes? Well, so that no flesh should glory in his sight. You know, what we learn and know of him is what he reveals to us. So, you know, we must do our due diligence to search and seek for him, but we must recognize that the only way we can find him is if he reveals himself. And since God is spirit, according to John chapter 4, verse 24, we're told that God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So everything we do, trying to learn about God, connect with God, read his word, must be done in the spirit. Can't do it in the flesh. Now, here's what doing it in the flesh means, you know. we are present, but not present. You know, so, you know, it's like you are here listening to this physically, but you're not connected and not engaged in your spirit. There's a lot of distractions. Thinking of other things, thinking of work, thinking of what you will do later, thinking of this and that and so on. Or, you know, when we also hear the word of God without understanding, that also means we're connecting in the flesh. Now, that's another paradox, because you really can't get understanding unless, you know, the Lord gives it to you. But it is the very entrance of his word. We'll find out later on when we get to verse 130 out of this Psalm 119. This is the verse I quote every day. The entrance of his word, you know, brings light and gives understanding. You can't get that understanding unless it comes from him. And yet, sometimes people don't get that understanding even when they hear his word. And Jesus said, well, if someone hears the word of the kingdom and has no understanding, well, then the enemy will come and pluck it out of their hearts. And those are the wayside hearers of the word. So with all these being said, that's a backdrop of what we, of this lesson, is look, we must seek to know him in the spirit. Seek to engage him in the spirit. And especially his word in the spirit. The way that God reveals himself to us is through his word. Hallelujah. And in that word, when we hear it and when we read it, we must engage it in the spirit. If you don't know how to do it, say, Lord, teach me how to engage in the spirit. I'll put away distraction, put away my mental abilities. You know, so say, well, I know these words in Greek. I know these words in Hebrew and so on and so forth. I can figure it out. No, you can't figure it out unless, you know, he tells it to you. If we have scholastic ability, it's a good thing and we can use it to the glory of God. But the real revelation of the knowledge of God that comes as the waters cover the sea, according to Habakkuk 2, you know, he says, well, in the last days, the knowledge of the glory of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what he said. You know, so if you read it for yourself, well, what it means is, you know, that's verse 14 of Habakkuk 2. What it means is that glory will be so much, so vast, like the waters cover the sea. It also means that, you know, just like the waters cover the sea, you can go to the sea and take some water out of it, but you're not even going to leave a dent. That's how vast the knowledge of his glory is. And he's the only one that can reveal it to us. So no matter which level we are in now, if we are able to engage him in this spirit, we'll get more. And just because we have knowledge of letters doesn't necessarily give us an advantage. That may be in the flesh. Now, if we learn in the spirit, that's good. I mean, it doesn't mean that every, you know, all aspects of education are, you know, have no value. Of course they have value if we approach it in the spirit. But if we only approach it in the flesh and bring that knowledge, that's why the scribes and the Pharisees in the day of Jesus, they all had, you know, knowledge of the scriptures, but they did not get the understanding. They knew the scriptures by letters. You know, whatever they read, they just knew it in, you know, in the flesh. And Jesus often exposed the lack of revelation. Things like when they would say, well, you know, Moses said you shouldn't do these things, you know, on the day of Sabbath. Jesus said, well, you really don't understand anything. The Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath as well. So there's something beyond what they read that Jesus said they did not understand. And many times. And even, you know, the scribes that knew the prophecies of the scriptures, they still did not have understanding. You know, if you ask the scribes, where would Jesus be born? Just like in the days of Herod, the wise folks who came to look for Christ, you know, and then Herod said, well, you know, tell me, where would this child be born that is going to be king? Because that's treason. It's treason for in the Roman kingdom for somebody else to announce himself as king or somebody to be announced as king. So Herod is going to kill all the children. Well, when the scribes made search, they found a place in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, where it is written of him, you know, thou, Bethlehem, O Ephrath, you know, though thou be the least among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor over my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know, so they knew those scriptures, but yet, when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him. So they were all in the flesh looking for the Messiah. The way they thought he would come, he did not come that way, and they missed it. And may we not be looking for the Lord in the flesh today. Because many people talk about end time prophetic events and things, and the Lord's coming. But all the people that are talking about it during the first coming of the Lord, they knew it was coming. They missed it even when he came. And I pray that that would not be our case. In order to make sure that that's not our case, we must engage the things of the Lord in the Spirit. Another way of, you know, engaging in the flesh rather than the Spirit is when we hear the word of the Lord, but it makes no impact. You know, James talks about it. He said, look, be not hearers only, but doers of the word. Because if any man be a hearer and not a doer of the word, he's like a man that looks in his in the mirror and sees his face, but does nothing about it and straight away forgets. You know, straight away forgets. So when we hear the word of God and straight away we forget it, thereafter, then that means we have engaged in the flesh. We have learned nothing. I mean, it's like, it's almost as if you didn't hear it at all. You heard it, and for a minute you said, oh, that was a great message. You know, but then, a little later on, you know, you don't remember. So let's read this verses out of James chapter 1. It says, but be ye doers of the word, that's James chapter 1 verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if we are hearers of the word and not doers of the same, then we are deceiving ourselves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, like in a mirror, you know, and he beholds himself, but goes away and straight away forgets what he saw. The word of God is so, you know, shape us into a more accurate reflection of the image of Christ. And it's to purge, it's to cleanse, it's to purify. The word of God will also, it's a designer. The thoughts and intents will expose the things, you know, that are not right in our life for correction, you know, not for condemnation, for correction. But if the word of God is revealed, spoken, or read, and it doesn't have these intended impacts, then we've just engaged in the flesh. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, the word of God is profitable for many things. And here are some of the things that they are profitable for. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, if the hearing of the word does not produce these things in our lives, then we have engaged it in the flesh. If when you hear the word of the Lord, it's not according to the doctrine of Christ, or it doesn't bring correction in our lives and instruction in righteousness, even though it presents those things, but it has not that impact on us, then we've engaged it in the flesh. But when we engage it in the spirit, it leads to perfection. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that summarizes the theme of this series is, look, engage the word of the Lord in the spirit. And so we went on to look at one man in the scriptures, David, concerning how he engaged the word of the Lord in the spirit. And this Psalm 119:19 is an example of how David related to the word of God. 176 verses, and in almost every verse, he's finding something to say about the impact that the word of God has on his life. Either has had, or is having, or will have. And so we've been reading through Psalm 119. So today we will continue at Psalm 119, verse 71. We have read through the first 70 verses or so. Remember also, when you hear the word of the Lord, you must take it as the word of the Lord, and not as the word of a man. This word of the Lord is accurate. We must, settle that in our hearts, that the word of God is accurate. It is, infallible, and it is the word of God. So we got to settle that. When we approach the word of God, we must settle that in our hearts. And if there is something that looks confusing or looks contradictory or whatever, you got to dig deeper to find the connections and what God is saying, because it cannot be wrong. So we settle that. So I'm the one that will be wrong if I don't understand it. The word of God cannot be wrong. So we settle that in your heart. Now, if you don't have that kind of perspective, to the word of God, then sometimes we will be in error when we are studying the word of God. We will use our own vain imaginations and vain interpretations rather than letting scripture interpret scripture. But if we have the right attitude towards the word of God, it carries tremendous blessings. In fact, it gets God's attention. Isaiah 66:2 says, this is the man to whom I will look, that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. You see the word of God as if God is speaking to you directly. You take it as such. And God said, well, that's the man that will get my attention. And that leads us also to keeping that word. We are guardians. Keeping means not only you do, but you are guardians. Guardians of that word. Make sure that word remains in our generations. You learn the word, you do it yourself, you teach it to your children after them. You speak on it when you sit at meal, when you walk down the way or whatever. We're guardians of the, oracles of God. We know it, we keep it, we do it, we teach it to others. That's what we are told in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, when Moses gave commandments to how people must relate to the word of God, you know, he said, well, when you sit in the way, you know, you serve the Lord with all your heart, he said, first of all. And then he said, well, lay up these words in your heart and it will be well with you. Bind it as a sign upon your hand. Let it be in front of your eyes like glasses all the time. Teach it to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 11 from verse 18. Therefore, you shall lay these words in your heart and in your soul. This is me engaging it, you know, and bind them upon your, you know, hand as a sign. It's always there, you know, it's always there on your hand. It's like, you know, you wear a band or a wristwatch or whatever. It's always with you. And, you know, put it in front of your eyes as frontlets. Like you wear glasses, it's right there. It's not very far from you. You know, half an inch from your face. It's right there. And teach them to your children. Speaking of them, when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, you know, and when you rise up, when you sit at dinner or lunch or whatever with your children, teach it to them. Guardians of the word of God. Write them upon the posts of your house and upon your gates. You know, you keep, you do it, and you make sure, you know, you transfer it to coming generations. You teach it to people around you too. Jesus commanded us, he said, go you into all the world and teach. That's right. Teach all nations to observe these things. You know, so we start by us learning to do it. Ezra, we're told in Ezra 7 and 10, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. That's the first step. You yourself must pursue the things of God. Understand what God is saying and do it. And then you teach it to others. You know, starting with your household. Teach it to your children. And teach it to your acquaintances, to people you meet, and whoever. You know, and so forth. But diligently keep all these commandments. You know, and don't ever forget them. You know, make sure the word of the Lord is not forgotten from generation to generation. Pass it along. What is the Lord saying? What has the Lord said? You know, what are the things that we have heard? You know, we don't at any time, you know, let them sleep. We are commanded that, you know, to take heed to these things that you have heard from time to time, lest at any time you should let them sleep. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip through our fingers or through our mind, you know. So take heed. So therefore, as we read through these words of the Lord, lay them upon your heart. That's a lot of wisdom and knowledge and understanding to be gained from David's perspectives in this chapter 119 of the book of Psalms. All right, so let's pick up the reading of the word of the Lord from Psalms 119. We're going to start at verse 71. And I pray, well, that we will engage the word of the Lord in the spirit. Prepare your heart to hear the word of the Lord now, the reading, or hear the reading of the word of the Lord. All that we have been saying so far is also part of the word of the Lord, but hear now the reading of the word of the Lord, and let's engage that in this spirit. Praise the Lord. This chapter is divided into various sections, and you know, we've been reading through some of it. Today I want to continue from verse 71, but I would like to touch on one or two things from the preceding section, you know, that we finished yesterday. The last verse there, in, you know, that says, actually, I said some, I said verse 71, but no, it's verse 73. So I want to start. But let me pick it up at verse 71 anyway. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We talked about that yesterday. And the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. This is the value that David put on the word of God. He said it's better than thousands of gold and silver. Well, a lot of gold and silver is a lot of value. You could do a lot of things with that kind of money or wealth. But this man says the word of God is even more valuable and better to him than that. Now, let's pick it up from verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Yeah, need that understanding. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Hoping in the word is a blessing. And, you know, it even puts a shine around you. Jeremiah 17 and 7 says, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, you know, that makes the Lord his hope, puts his hope in the Lord, puts his trust in the Lord. That man is blessed, you know. It will shine through you. It will cause things to line up appropriately for you. You know, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in the faithfulness has afflicted me. You know, so he was remorseful for his sins and the things that he did wrong. And we, you know, a few weeks ago we covered stories in the life of David and the areas where he went wrong, you know, he went astray, and how also the punishment of God came. And he's talking about it here. He said, well, you are faithful, Lord. You know, so, you know, I did wrong. You punished me for it. And I'm thankful that you punished me, because it helps me to learn thy ways. That's right. And he said, well, teach me thy ways, you know, and I will hide now thy word. I was afflicted, but now I have kept thy word. I have not departed out of thy word anymore. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. We talked about how he referred to the word of God as law, precepts, commandments, statutes, testimonies. I mean, all of these things, every time he uses any one of those words, referring to the word of the Lord. Let the proud be ashamed. Let me pause here and say, is the word of the Lord your delight? Is it our delight, like David said? So the law of the Lord is my delight. You know, do we meditate on it day and night? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the, you know, counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 1. But his delight, hallelujah, is in the law of the Lord. Yeah, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do we delight the law of the Lord like that? Well, That man that delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. What are the blessings? Well, let's see. He shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that means somebody who delights in the law of the Lord and is always thinking about it, and it doesn't depart from his hands, he speaks according to that word. Here are the blessings. You know, a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, you know, that tree will never be dry. That tree will not have a dry season. It is always going to bring forth. His leaves will not even wither. Leaves generally wither in the fall season. For those of us that live in areas that have these four seasons, you know, fall, winter, spring, and summer. In the fall season, the leaves begin to fall, you know, from the trees. And when it gets deep into that season, many of the trees are withered away. They're dead, you know. There's no leaves. There's dry branches is all you see. All the leaves are on the ground, you know, dried up. But this man that's connected to the rivers of water, well, he'll never be out of season. He will always bring forth fruit. And it starts by, you know, the fact that he delights in the law of the Lord. You know, so that's what the psalmist is saying here again. He's the same one that wrote Psalm 1. He's saying the same thing here in Psalm 119. You know, that thy law is my delight. I pray that the law of the Lord will be our delight in Jesus' name. You know, let it be our delight in all the things that we do. He said, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I meditate in thy precepts. I mean, even when he's going through, the place of solace for him is in the word of God. When things come up against him, when people come up against him, when they say this or say that, you know, no matter what's going on, he always goes back to that place, that secret place. Blessed is the man that, you know, dwelleth, abideth. You know, dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty. He shall abide, see, under the shadow of the Lord. A secret place. This man knows how to go to that secret place, the word, and in praising the Lord. It's always there. He would repeat the word of God to himself. He would praise the Lord. He would meditate upon it. That's the place he goes. He said, I will meditate in thy precepts even when the proud come up against me. You know, let those that fear thee turn unto me. Yeah. And those that have known thy testimonies, let my heart be sound in thy statutes that I may not be ashamed. You know, always talking about, you know, the value that he gets out of the word of God. And as long as he finds himself solidly in that word, he said, I will not be ashamed. My soul fainted for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word. I want that word, Lord. I need more of that word. I need to hear from you. He can't wait. This man couldn't wait. You know, my soul fainted. My heart, my eyes for thy word. I say, Lord, when will thou comfort me? And become like a bottle in a smoke. Yet I do not forget thy statutes. In another place, you know, Psalm 102 says, I'm like a pelican in the wilderness, like an owl in the desert, like a sparrow on the housetop. I feel all alone, you know, but I always go to thy word. I go to thy word all the time. How many are the days of thy servant? You know, No matter what I'm going through, he said, I will not forget thy statutes. I will not forget the word of the Lord. The guardrails that God has put in place, you know, to help me to walk in the integrity of my heart. I will never forget those things, no matter what's going on around me. This man said, I will not cut corners. He learned his lesson bitterly, you know, when he did not stay with the word of God. And now he said, look, now, you know, I kept thy word in my heart so that I will not sin against thee. You know, now, what are many days of your servant? He said, when will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud, they dig pits for me, which are not after thy law, but all thy commandments are faithful. And these people persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me, O God. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. See, no matter all these things that he's going through, always going back to the word of God. That's where he finds his comfort. Quicken me, O Lord, after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep that testimony of thy mouth. On and on and on, he talks about, you know, his relationship and his connection with the word of God. He might call it testimony, he might call it statutes, precepts, law, commandments, all the same. Forever, O Lord, this one is a popular one, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, let it be settled in your heart also. I pray that the Lord will give us that confidence. Settle it that this is the word of God. When you hear it, when you read it, meditate upon it, know assuredly that it's the word of the Lord. But God cannot lie, and God cannot be in error. You know, what he says is the way it is. Don't try to dismiss the word of God. No. You know, we tremble at it, receive it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let it also be settled in my heart every day as I hear it or read it. And as I practice it, let it be settled in my heart. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abided. You know, everything that you've done continue unto this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. The moon is God's servant. The sun is God's servant. The rain is God's servant. Thunder is God's servant. That's why those things cannot hurt you. I mean, two servants of the Lord cannot be hurt by each other. I mean, if I'm a servant of the Lord, the rain is a servant of the Lord. The sun is a servant of the Lord. Thunder and lightning is a servant of the Lord. Then you can't harm me. You know, doing his thing, I'm doing my thing. We can't be at loggerheads. Rain, sun, storm, thunder, lightning, all these things cannot harm me because they are servants of the Lord, and so am I. We're all, you know, in the graces of the Lord in his vineyard. They are doing their thing. He sent his lightning and discomfited some people. He sent out his storm, his hailstone, and all this. But these things can't harm me because I'm the servant of the Lord. And they also are servants of the Lord. So, you know, can't be working against each other. You know, if we have that learning and that confidence today, then you and I will be afraid, not even of natural disasters and different things that may happen. Even when the earth opens up its mouth to swallow up people, can't swallow you. you know its boundaries. See, the earth, I mean, all these things, they know their boundaries. Praise the Lord. You know, and so we walk in the integrity of our heart. The angel of the Lord will encamp around you. And it will deliver you. You know, it will set you apart. Put a mark on your head. He said, put a mark on the head of these ones and then go in and slay all the others. Ezekiel chapter 9. But he will separate you. And, you know, so we have that confidence. No matter what's going on around me, you know, the psalmist, he said in another place, he said, look, all these things may be happening, yet in this will I be confident. You know, the seas may roar. All these things, you know, may, you know, just erupt around me. but in this will I be confident. I will always be confident, he said. Doesn't matter what's going on. You know, listen to this. God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Cataclysmic upheavals and different things happening. I was like, well, I don't care. The mountains may be carried into the midst of the sea. The waters, the proud waters may rise up and do all kinds of things. The mountains may shake, volcanic eruptions and all these things. But yet, they cannot harm you. You know, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For the Lord shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. So, all these things blowing up around you, storms, unrest everywhere, and so forth. But inside of you, there is a confidence that these things, because they are also servants of the Lord, well, they cannot harm you, you know, because a servant of the Lord, I'm a servant of the Lord. And we are not going to be walking against each other. Praise the Lord. This is the confidence that we have, that none of this evil shall befall us. Jesus said himself, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10 and 19, I give you power over all these things, elements, even serpentine spirits and different things, scorpions or so forth, you know, nothing. Tread upon them, he said, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And so that's the confidence, you know, that we have in the Lord. So let us settle the word of the Lord in our hearts, knowing that all these things are God's servant, but I am also God's servant, so we are not walking against each other. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abided. It continue to this day according to their ordinances, for all are thy servants, all these things. Unless thy law had been my delights, then I should have perished in my affliction. See? But the word of the Lord was his delight. Even when the Lord judged him and punished him for his errors, he still delighted in the things of the Lord. In fact, one time he said, the Lord presented him a choice. You know, we covered this when we did his story. When he went against the covenant that God swore by to himself, to Abraham, and said, thy seed shall be as the sands of the sea. That's what God said to Abraham, Genesis chapter 22. Gave it to him like that after he attempted to offer off Isaac in obedience to God's commands. And God said, now, you know, I know your heart really, and I swear by myself, your children shall be like the sands of the sea, at the dust of the earth, innumerable. Well, that's what God says. So you don't go against that by trying to number Israel. That was a severe thing that he did. God came down hard on him. But even then, the Lord presented him some choices. And he said, look, you know, I'm going to give you three choices. David said, look, I don't care what other thing. I want the one that is, you know, punishment directly from the hand of the Lord. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord. Not to the hand of my enemies, not to these other things, because the Lord is merciful. He will punish me for what I deserve, but he will still remember mercy. In wrath, he will remember mercy. And the Lord did. Praise the Lord. You know, so this man said, you know, the Lord have been my delight. Otherwise, I would have perished in my afflictions. But I will never forget thy precepts. You know, for with them that has quickened me, you know, the precepts of the Lord. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. It's a quickener. Quickener, quicken means to be alive. Thy word has quickened me and made me alive. I am thine, save me, O Lord, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will continue in thy testimonies. I will consider thy testimonies. No matter what people are doing to me, I'll always go back to the word of the Lord. I have seen an end of all perfection, but a commandment is exceeding broad. Wow. It covers everything. And as I often say, if you can't find an answer for it in the word of God, then you don't need it. You don't need to know. If I need to know something, you know, that pertains to life and godliness, and I have a question about it. In fact, if it's, there's no answer in the word of God, then it's not a question that I need an answer for. Because it's there, and he has given it to us. And it's a commandment, it's exceeding broad, covers everything. Now listen to this next verse. I love this one. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Can you say that? I pray that the Lord will give us this kind of attitude towards the word of the Lord. Say, how I love. I mean, you can see the excitement. I love thy law. I love the word of the Lord. It is my meditation all the day. Thank you, Jesus. Through thy commandments, thou hast made me wiser than my enemies. Glory to God. You know, they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers through the word of God. See, glory to God. For thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients because I have kept thy precepts. Now, this is where real revelation comes in. You know, because this man is always in pursuit of the word of God. And he wants to be right. He wants to do the right thing by the word of God. He said, God even gives me understanding greater than even those that are teaching me. You know, I have more understanding than even the gray hair, the ancients and so forth. Because I have kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Can you say that? Is that your testimony, that the word of God is sweet to your taste? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Is that your testimony, that it is even sweeter than honey in your mouth? That's right. That's the way this man saw it. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. That's right. Therefore, I hate every false way. That's another good one. Through thy precepts, you know, where God puts checks and balances and things for us, guardrails for us and so forth. All of that will keep you in your heart. And he said, I hate every evil false way because my heart is aligned to the word of God and his precepts. This next verse is a beauty. It's just a beauty. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we know this one too. It's a famous one. Where you stand, there is light. You're standing in the light. And where you're headed, there is light. You're never, you know, in darkness. Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of this world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have a light. Where you're standing, there's a lamp. So it's like light, you know, it's a lamp around your feet. You're not in darkness. Where you're going, you're not in darkness. There's no confusion. There's a light. The Lord will lighten my path in front of me so you can see clearly where you're going. And you will not stumble. Because even you have light inside of you, and you will not stumble. Glory to God. And what gives you that light? Well, it is the word of God that you meditate upon day and night. In the book of John chapter 11 and verse 10, Jesus makes this profound statement, a deep revelation. He said, look, you know, there's just a few 12 hours in the day and so forth. If every man walks in the day, you know, they don't stumble because they see the light of day. In the daytime, the sun is out. Everybody can see the light, right? So there's no need for you to stumble. You can see where you're going. People only stumble when they don't see where they're going. It's dark. You trip over things and so forth. That's when you come into the house and it's dark. First thing you do instinctively is for you to turn on the light. Otherwise, you'll trip over things. Well, Jesus said, when it is light and everybody can see, well, nobody stumbles because they're walking in the light. They can see the light of day. But when it is dark, when no man can see, those people that stumble, Jesus said, they stumble because, not because they don't have a flashlight or carry a lamp with them. No, but they stumble because there is no light inside of them. It's a powerful, profound revelation, you know. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, he said, John 11 and verse 10, because there is no light inside of him. Not because he's not carrying a lamp or carrying a flashlight. And what brings the light inside of you is the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 130, we'll get to it. See, the entrance of your word, when the word of God enters into your heart, it brings light. When you have that word inside of you, there is light in you. The light that's in you is greater than the darkness that's around you. Gross darkness, Isaiah 60 said, shall be upon all the people, but the Lord is your light. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and you shall arise and shine in the light of the Lord. That word is inside of you. It said, I delight in your word, I meditate upon it. It's my meditation day long. When that word is inside of you, it produces light. The entrance of your word brings light. It also produces understanding. You know, causes you to be able to walk when there's darkness all around. You will never be in darkness because there's light inside of you. Powerful stuff. Praise the Lord. So, as we read through these things that the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 119, I want you to be praying along. When you hit a critical note in these verses, something that resonates in your with your spirit, well, let's pray about it then and say, Lord, you know, let me have the benefit. Let this be my portion, that I will be someone that can say, oh, how I love thy law. Let it be my meditation all day. Through thy commandments, you made me wiser than my enemies. You know, and so forth. I have more understanding than my teachers because of the word of God. You know, I have more understanding than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for they have taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste. It's sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, and I hate every evil way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep the righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. That's right. Jesus said, "Thy word, my words are the quickener, spirit and life." This is spirit that quickeneth, and my words are spirit and life. So it's the word of God that will quicken us and give us life. Accept, I beseech thee, O Lord, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. You know, sometimes people say, ah, my heart is in my hand. You know, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen next. It's like, you know, we're afraid of what's going to happen there. Maybe because of all the things that have been happening. What's next? Nobody knows. Fear of the unknown and so forth. Said, well, but this man said, no matter what, I would not forget thy law. Glory to God. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Can you say that the word of the Lord is the rejoicing of your heart? I pray, Lord, let the word of the Lord be the rejoicing of our heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord, powerful. See all the ways in which David uses this word to bring himself back to normalcy, even when things are blowing up around him, when he's facing persecution, when the tongue, you know, and so forth is against him, you know, the slight of man and all these things, you know. And he said, look, everything is against me, but I will delight in thy law. I will have respect unto thy statutes all the time. No matter what's going on around me, even in this will I be confident. Glory to God, because I have hoped in thy word. Uphold me, he said, according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. What is your hope? I'm going to stop here. And next time I'll continue from verse 113. But what is your hope? Well, let's go back to, I gave this as a memory verse the other day out of the book of Jeremiah 17 and 7. You know, blessed is that man. Well, are you that man or that woman? Blessed are you, you know, when you put your trust in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. What's going to happen to him? Well, he shall be as a tree planted by waters and spreadeth forth her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This is the same thing that Psalm 1 talks about. These are the blessings of trusting in the Lord and putting your hope in the Lord, and especially putting your hope in the word of the Lord and engaging his word in the spirit. It's a tremendous blessing. Now, Jesus also talked about, I want to remind us, I say it all the time, but I want to remind you more of some of the blessings of keeping his commandments. Turn your attention to John chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. You know, if you love me, he said, Jesus said, well, then you keep my commandments. I mean, many people will say unto me on that day, I love thee, Lord, I did this and did that. And I said, the Lord said, well, I will say unto you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You know, so you know, saying it with the mouth alone, that I love the Lord and so forth, it's not enough. You must do it. Jesus said, the way you show it to me is you do it. If you keep my commandments, that's the proof that you love me. You know, said, if you don't keep my commandments, then that means you don't love me. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, that's powerful. And, why do we call him Lord? Why do we, you know, say, yes, Lord, but we don't actually do what he says? You know, Jesus told the story of the man in Matthew 21 that has two sons. You know, said the one that said yes, but he didn't do it. You know, and Jesus said, look, don't be like that. You always say yes, but you don't do what I say. Why do you even call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? That's a lesson that Jesus, you know, spoke about, a famous verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He said, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? Praise the Lord. You know, I asked somebody one time too, what do you call me pastor for? Why you don't do what I say? Why are you calling me your pastor? If I'm your pastor, then you do what I say. You know, I'm bringing to you the word of the Lord, and you do it. Why are you calling me pastor? Don't call me pastor if you're not going to do what I say. pretty much the same thing that Jesus is saying here. You know, don't call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say. What's the point? You know, so, but he said, if you do what I say, powerful stuff, back to John 14 and 21. If you do what I say, that's the proof that you love me. And the benefits that you will have for loving me and doing what I say, powerful benefits, revelation, manifestation of his glory and his presence, ever abiding presence. All these things come to us for keeping the word of the Lord. So one of his disciples said, well, there was another Judas he has with him, not the one that betrayed him, but another one. And he said, well, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not to the world? Because Jesus said, look, if you love me and so forth, and keep my commandments, and that's the proof that you love me, yeah, I'm going to be beloved of my Father. I will love you too and manifest myself to you. So why will you manifest yourself to us and not everybody? Jesus said, well, not everybody loves me. You know, and not everybody will do what I say. They may call me Lord, but they don't do what I say. But that means they don't really love me. So that's it, bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. You say, I love the Lord, but you don't do what the word of God says. Well, then you're deceiving yourself. You know, if you love me, do what I say. And you do what I say, that's the proof that you love me. And when you do, I will manifest myself unto you. You're going to get a lot of benefits. You know, many benefits. Manifest myself unto you. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. The corollary to that is, well, if you don't love the Lord, you won't be keeping his words. And if you don't keep the words of the Lord, then that means we don't love the Lord. So, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to show my love for you in that I keep your commandments. And the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Therefore, our benefits, you know, Moses often told them, he said, do these things that ye may live, you know, that you may prolong your days in the land which your father, the Lord swear to your fathers to give them. You know, do such and such that it may be well with you. You know, so all of these things, so it may be well with you. Even parents, children are commanded and instructed to honor their parents that it may be well with you, that you may live long, you know, upon the earth and all these things. So there is a blessing for keeping the word. Well, but he said, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So if you're not keeping the word of God, that shows you don't love the Lord, no matter what you may claim. And, you know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can see through all of that. You know, so now, he said, the word you have heard from me is not really mine. It's my Father's that sent me. The word that you hear, take it as the word of God. Tremble at it and do it. That's your proof that you love the Lord. There are many things that God had commanded us in these scriptures, which oftentimes we ignore because we're walking in the flesh. People that walk in the flesh, they can't forgive. And Jesus, I'll always hammer on this forgiveness, you know, because it's a foundational principle of, you know, our walking with God, Christianity, even based upon that forgiveness. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will my heavenly Father forgive you. And when the Lord commands us to forgive, you know, Jesus had been saying it so many times that, look, you know, disciples wanted to ask, you know, so Peter one day was bold. Peter is never shy. He will say what's in his mind. Look, okay, so you're always talking about this forgive, forgive, forgive. Well, how many times do I have to forgive the man? you keep doing these things. 7 times enough? Jesus said, no. 7 times not enough. Yeah, forgive him 70 times, 7 times. So my goodness, 490 times. And so Peter was confused and the rest of them too. How in the world? Well, that means, keep forgiving. The offenses must needs come. But woe unto the man through whom offenses come. Some people say, well, God said you should forgive me, so whatever I do, you should forgive. Well, woe unto the man through whom offenses come. You know, we should not try to take advantage of people just because the Lord commands them to forgive. Well, if you do, the Bible says, woe unto such a person. And woe unto the person also that will not forgive their brother, every one of them, their trespasses from the bottom of your heart. If you don't do it, Jesus told a story in Matthew 18, you know, of the one, the servant that was forgiven tremendous stuff, 10,000 talents of, you know, that he owned. And yet somebody that owned him a farthing, owed him a farthing, he grabbed him by the neck, put him in prison till he should pay all. When his master heard of that, he said, thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired it of me. Shouldn't you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had on thee? And he turned around and, you know, delivered him unto the tormentors. he said, this man, you know, the forgiveness I gave him is now rescinded. That's right. Gave him up to be tormented. And Jesus said, look, so likewise will your heavenly Father do unto you. And people read these things and say, it doesn't matter. That's not what it means. There was a brother one day that was telling me that, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, a brother, a seasoned brother in the faith, elderly too. So many years in the faith. And he was telling me this thing, that's not what it means. Like, what do you mean that's not what it means? It's right there, point blank, you know. You're going to now know more than the Lord? Are we stronger than He? Who has known the mind of the Lord as you instruct Him? You now are going to tell the Lord what He means and what He doesn't mean? The Lord says what He means and He means what He says. And He said, look, if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. They say, well, but I'm already forgiving. You know, God cannot rescind that. Maybe not. But He can rescind the benefits. You know, hand you over to the tormentors. That's what Jesus said. Tormentors are like, you know, blockers to your prayers. You know, God resists the proud. You know, the proud will not humble themselves under the word of God. A proud? You say, well, that's not what it means. I can't forgive that person. Look at what they did. Well, that's pride. And God resists the proud. So let's humble ourselves under the word of God. This is what it means to engage the word of God in the spirit. We have heard the word of God today. Let's take it as the word of God and not the word of a man. Praise the Lord. And when you go to your local church assemblies as well, and you hear the word of the Lord, take it as it is the word of the Lord. But search it out to see whether indeed these things be so. Same thing as here. Don't take my word for it. You know, search it out to see whether those things are so. Isaiah 8 and 20. To the law and the testimony, that's your litmus test. Is it according to the word? Is what they have spoken or what they are speaking, are these things according to the word of the Lord? If it is, then hang on to it. If it isn't, then toss it. Prove all things, you know, and hold fast that which is true. If I have spoken unto you the word of the Lord today, well, check it out and see whether it be true. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Father, we thank you for the grace of God that brings us salvation, that appeared unto us and even to everybody, teaching us that we should deny ungodliness and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Teaching us also that we should give up the heart of stone and receive the heart of spirit from you, teaching us also to engage the word of the Lord in the spirit and not in the flesh, that these words will have impact upon our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord, and give us this kind of heart that was in David, a man that desired the word of the Lord. He said that, Lord, that thy precepts, thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, were the rejoicing of my heart, or the meditation all day long. Let it be said of us also that the word of God was the rejoicing of our hearts. We meditate on it day and night, and the word will not depart from our mouth. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Thank you, Father. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord God is. What well, I say unto you, men and brethren, my dearly beloved brethren, blessed are ye when you engage the word of the Lord in the spirit. For then shall you receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul. When we engage and we tremble at his word and we take it as the word of the Lord and not as the word of a man. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord. I give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Father. Even as it was written, ye receive the word of the Lord as indeed the word of God and not the word of men. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. For this cause, I thank God without ceasing, brethren, because you have received the word of God which you heard of us. You received it as not the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. May you receive this word that we have brought unto you today in the name of the Lord, not as the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, thereby engaging the word of the Lord in spirit, so that it will work effectually in you. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.